All right. It's good singing this morning. Appreciate you very much. Just in case you're wondering why we have so many new people up here, Bethany has a cold and almost wasn't able to make it. And then we were really in panic because we knew Molly was out of town and Kate was out of town. But then thankfully this morning she said, I'm going to come. So thank you, Bethany, for coming, even though your voice is not there. So then in the deacon's meeting this morning, Jim found out he was going to be standing by himself. So he started recruiting in a big hurry for people to stand with him. So he paid Eric $20. So he got Fred and Eric to come stand with him. But yeah, $1 to Fred. Okay, so we look forward to Molly being back in town and Kate being back in town and others that help with music. And Bethany, thank you for coming, even though you do not feel good this morning. This morning, there was someone that said, I just don't want to go to church. They kept saying, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to get out of bed. I'm too tired. The wind is blowing. I just don't want to get out of bed. And they kept saying this and saying this over and over. And finally, Joanna said, but Josh, you're the pastor. And so I got up and I came. I'm just kidding. That didn't happen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, where we're going to be this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. As you know, we are celebrating the Lord's Supper this morning, celebrating communion for what the Lord did for us. And so I don't want to take up the whole service with a long, long message, because I want us to have time to really focus on what the Lord has done for us in giving his body and shedding his blood on our behalf. So I just have just three quick points for us this morning to just bring our minds and our thoughts where they need to be. One author says this, the bread that the believer eats at the Lord's table is intended to remind him of Christ's body given to death on the cross for his sins. The cup that he drinks is intended to remind him of Christ's blood shed to make atonement for his transgressions. The whole ordinance was meant to keep in fresh memory, the sacrifice Christ has done on the cross and the satisfaction with that sacrifice made for the sins of the world. So as we come to a morning such as this, as we are reminded of what Christ did for us, the reason we do this is to keep in fresh memory the sacrifice of what Christ has done for us. Nowhere, someone else says, nowhere is God so near to man as in Jesus Christ. And nowhere is Christ so familiarly represented to us than in the celebration of the Lord's table. So today is a reminder of God's nearness to us through Christ and reminding us what Christ has done for us by celebrating the Lord's Supper. So as I already had you turn this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, and we're going to start at verse number 28, which is after the verses which we typically use to celebrate on Sundays such as this. But three quick things I want to remind us of and to challenge us with this morning. Chapter 11 and verse number 28, the Bible says this, but let a man examine himself. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Three things this morning. Number one, as we celebrate the Lord's table, we need to look within. The Bible says that we are to examine ourselves. What a privilege we have as Christians that throughout Scripture, oftentimes the Bible says in Haggai to consider our ways. And here he says, examine ourselves. If there is ever a time that we should do some serious, reverent heart searching, it is in preparation for taking the Lord's Supper. Let a man examine himself. Is there things in our lives that are hindering our fellowship with the Lord? Is there bitterness? Is there unforgiveness? Is there hatred? Is there jealousy? Whatever it may be that is hindering your relationship with the Lord, the Bible says in verse 28, to examine ourselves. Before we take of the Lord's Supper, we look within. Go to Psalms chapter 139. I know you'll remember this passage, but in Psalms 139 and verse number 23, the Bible says this, "Search me, O God." That's a scary prayer, isn't it? To ask God to search you. "To search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." It's an amazing thing to recognize that God knows our heart, God knows our intents, and God knows our heart. But in verse 23, it's an invitation by God to God to reveal to our spirit that any areas in which we are not walking according to His word and according to His will. "Search me," He says, "O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." I've said this before, but I wonder who the first volunteer would be if I were to hook your brain to some special wires and your thoughts would be revealed on the screens for 10 minutes. Who would volunteer for that, right? No one wants their thoughts revealed. Well, here the psalmist says, "God, I invite you to search me, know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts." And then he says in verse 24, what is the purpose of this searching? What is the purpose of this examination? What is the purpose of you knowing my heart and my thoughts and examining my ways? He says in verse number 24, he gives the answer to that. To see or to reveal. When you see something, that is a revealing of something. To reveal or to see if there be any way, wicked way in me. And then he says, if there is something revealed, lead me in the way everlasting. So as we celebrate the Lord's table, we start by looking within. Paul says in chapter 11, verse 28 that I just read you, that we are to examine ourselves. Not to discover whether we are worthy, the worthiness comes to Christ, but to determine if we are partaking in a worthy manner or a worthy purpose. Are there areas of our lives which are not aligned with the will of God? So he says, "Search me, try me, know my heart, know my thoughts, and see if there's a wicked way, and reveal that, and then lead me in the way that you would have me to go." Sometimes it's easy in our lives to head the wrong direction. But here, Paul and the psalmist are both encouraging us to examine our ways and see if there's a direction or a thought or an intent which is not aligned with the will of God. So as we partake this morning, we start by looking within. Now take your Bibles once again to 1 Corinthians 11 and then go back to verse number 24. Verse number 24. So we look within, but also this moment, this time together as we celebrate the Lord's table is a time where we look backwards also. The Bible says in verse 24 of chapter 11, "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" And then he says, "After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do ye, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me.'" So we're looking within, asking God to examine our hearts. We're looking backwards as a reminder of what Christ has done for us. Again, as you've heard me preach week after week after week, there is no other way to have peace with Almighty God than through Jesus Christ. There is no other way for sin to be forgiven than through Jesus Christ. I read to you last week from Galatians where the Bible says if there was a law that could have been given, then salvation surely would have come by the law. But there was no law that could be given that could provide for the forgiveness of sin for mankind. Everything that is taking place was necessary. Jesus Christ is the only one that could give his life, the only name that was ever mentioned among men whereby we could be saved. There's no other Savior. And so we look back in remembrance of the cross where Christ gave his body and shed his blood upon the cross. One other author says this: the purpose of the Lord's Supper is to receive from Christ the nourishment and the strength and hope and joy that comes from feasting our souls on all that he purchased for us upon the cross, especially his fellowship. And so as we remember what Christ has done, we're looking within to examine our hearts, and we're looking backwards to remind us of all that Christ has done for us. The Lord's Supper is a memorial that is to remind us of Jesus Christ's death on the cross for our sins. Without this event, we have nothing. Without what Christ has done, we have no heaven. We have no forgiveness of sin. We have no fellowship with the Father without Christ. It's all through him. So this is a big deal. This is a big reminder of what Christ has done. So we're looking within and we're looking back. Just imagine with some inspired imagination this morning, the gloom in the Garden of Gethsemane as Christ sweat as it were, drops of blood. And he asked the Father if there was another way for this to be done. And ultimately the answer is returned: there is no other way. You, and again I'm adding a few words, but you are the only one that could do this for mankind. Josh Osteen will be in hell without the work of Christ. And so will each and every one of us without the work of Christ. So imagine with inspired imagination, sitting in the gloom of Gethsemane's garden and try to enter the agony of our Savior as he committed himself to the cross on our behalf. He had done nothing. The innocent for the guilty. He had done nothing to deserve the cross. He had done nothing to deserve the nails in his hands. He had done nothing to deserve the crown of thorns that would be placed upon his head. He had done nothing to deserve the beating he took with the cat of nine tails, the mockery, the shame. All of it was done on our behalf. He did not deserve the death that he partook in. So we're reminded of what Christ has done for us. Imagine that for a moment. As I think I've told you before, but the very one that formed, the Bible says in John 1:1 that all things were made by him, and without him wasn't anything made that was made. The very one that formed the wood that they would nail him to. The very one that created the hand that held the hammer that drove the spikes into him. Imagine that. They spat upon him. And to me, that would have been enough. If they would have begun to spat upon me, I would have called those angels. But he didn't, because I needed a Savior. I needed forgiveness of sin. Jesus Christ came and committed himself to the cross on our behalf. And so the Lord's Supper is a reminder of Christ and his work. It brings up into our memory the greatness of what Christ has done. So you're in the Garden of Gethsemane. You see the agony as he commits to the cross, which we know was committed to before, but we understand there in the garden, the conversation takes place. Then stand outside the walls of Jerusalem and then survey the cross on which the Prince of Glory would die. As the song sang this morning, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. The old rugged cross, the cross of what Christ would do. And so with imagination, we stand there watching as Christ carries his own cross until he collapses and then is picked up, goes to the hill where he is crucified, darkness upon the earth. The veil in the temple is rending, is opening. All these things are taking place for my sin. So I'm watching with my imagination what Christ has done. Of course, we can see all this spelled out in the Scriptures. But we're reminded of the cross. We're looking within to examine our hearts, and we're looking back to remind ourselves of the cross, of what Christ has done. We should let this experience and this knowledge of the cross inform our intellect, stir our emotions, and sway our wills because of what Christ has done. What Christ has done upon the cross should inform our intellect of its truth, should stir our emotions, and sway our wills. Who would you rather follow than someone who has given their life for you? So we look back at Calvary as we receive the elements of the Lord's Supper into our mind, into our hearts, into our attitudes, and into our ambitions. We're looking within and we're looking back. It's deforming our intellect, it's stirring our emotions, and it's swaying our wills. It's changing our mind, our heart, and our attitudes and our ambitions because of what Christ did for us upon the cross. We look back, we look within, but there's another part of this as well. Chapter number 11 and verse number 26, he says this, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death," and then three words at the end, "till he come." We look within, we look back, but we also look forward. The cross is not the end of the story for us that are believers. We are reminding ourselves until he comes again. This is an interesting topic in light of all the world's news today. An interesting topic with Iran, and we understand in Scripture that would represent Persia. And we know that they're in a battle with someone who is of great interest, which is Israel. And we could talk about all these things, but I would say there's most Christians, when they see these things happening, they begin to anticipate the return of the Lord. Now, I believe in a rapture. I believe the Bible teaches a rapture. I believe, well, let's just look at that quickly since you brought it up. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Monty, I'm sorry, this is not on the sheet that I turned in, but you're so good at this now. Chapter 4 and verse number 13. The Bible says this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 13. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren." I've heard it said, and I know it's not true of all of us, but they say that's the largest class of Christians being mentioned. Ignorant brethren. But that's another story, all right? But he says, "I want you to know this. You need to know this. I don't want you to not be informed of this. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say," he says, "by the word of the Lord." This is a promise of God. This is what he has promised. "I'm telling you this by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself," he says in verse 16, "for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." And then he says, "then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore," he says, "comfort one another with these words." The Bible says, "God hath not appointed us unto wrath." And I believe the wrath that he's talking about is the wrath of the tribulation. I think we'll be spared from the wrath of the tribulation is He's going to take us out, but we can have a whole sermon about all these things. But as we look at the Lord's Supper, we're reminded to look within, we're reminded to look back at the cross, and we're reminded to look forward to His coming. Christ is coming again. He's going to return, the Bible says. And everybody wants to know when, and everybody wants to know exactly the date, and dates have been set and have failed time and time again. I'm not a date setter, but I know He's coming, and I believe He's coming, and I look forward to His return. Last night, I was sitting there with a pail of 3 gallons of ice cream, and I began to dish a bowl out, and I said, Colin, I really shouldn't be eating this. He said, oh, Dad, enjoy yourself. We're all going to die anyway. I said, thank you, son. I feel better now, right? But anyway, but we understand that Christ is returning. What a moment that will be. I so want to go into some prophecy stuff, but we're on the Lord's Supper this morning. But we're reminded of what Christ has done. We're reminded to examine our lives to see if we're partaking in a worthy manner. We're looking back at the cross, recognizing and celebrating that because of Him, we have everything. For God hath made Him these things. He's made us our wisdom, our justification, our sanctification have all come because of Christ, as Corinthians tells us. It's all because of Him. And we're reminded, as He says, you do this till I come, till He returns. Listen, once He comes, you'll need no more reminder of what He has done for you. You'll know that for all eternity. The reason you'll be where you are is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll need no more further reminder. This is a reminder until He comes, which He is coming, I think, soon. But who knows for sure. So we look within. I challenge you. Examine yourselves. Let God examine you. Let Him reveal any ways in your heart or your mind or your emotion or your will that are not aligned with His desires. Look back. Look back at that cross and be reminded that because of the cross, we have everything. And look forward to His return. Joanna Beth, they're going to come and they're going to play something for us. I'll go ahead and call the men up at this time as well, and we'll prepare to receive this reminder of all that Christ has done. As they come, I ask them to play something for us. Let's just bow our heads together for just a moment. Take a time there in your seat to reflect. Maybe you're here today and you're a Christian. Maybe it's as simple as saying, thank you for what you've done for me. Maybe you're here today and the Lord has revealed areas of your life where you aren't walking with Him. Let Him speak to your heart this morning as they play. Look within, look back, and look forward. All right, the Bible once again says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, Paul writing, he says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it. All right, Eric, I'll ask you to please pray for the bread.
Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, we come before You with great thanks for what was given for us over 2,000 years ago, Lord Jesus, when You had Your body broken, even though the bones weren't broken, but they sure hurt You badly. Thank You for giving Your life for us. We pray that as we take part in this celebration of You giving Your body for us, that a new awakening would come within our very souls and our hearts for You and be pleasing to You. In Your name we pray. Amen.
Verse 24 says, and when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. This too in remembrance of Me, in remembrance of Him. The Bible then says in verse number 25, After the same manner also, he took the cup.
Father, as we take this cup, we are reminded of the precious blood that was shed on our behalf by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For we know that through Scripture that you tell us that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And that now we have been redeemed through his blood, and we have our sins forgiven through the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to ever keep that freshly in our mind until he returns again to get his bride. And we thank you for this in his name. Amen.
Verse 25, after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me, in remembrance of him." As the Bible says, as often as you eat this cup, bread and drink this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death until he comes. The men are going to come and collect the cups from you at this time. All right, may we be reminded to look within, to look back, and to look forward to what the Lord is doing in our lives. Let's stand to our feet this morning. We're going to say our final verse together. I think we're getting better and better at saying this together. Let's try it again. Are you ready? "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Isaiah 53:5. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for all you've done. We thank you for the precious work of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for forgiveness of sin through him and him alone. Lord, thank you that salvation is by faith, through grace, and through that comes through Jesus. Lord, may this day have been a fitting reminder in our lives of all you have done. Keep us safe as we go our separate ways. Be with those that aren't feeling well, those that are traveling. Thank you for those we had visiting with us here today. I pray that they have felt your presence. We thank you, Lord, for all you've done. May everything we do and say honor and glorify the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we ask all these things. Amen.